Welcome to Crossbody of Work. My name is Evan.
I am Javier.
This week, we are going way back in the archives. We are all the way back to the 70s and the 80s, and we are looking at one of the best heels in the business, Big Cat Ernie Ladd.
Oh, yeah. Big Cat, big baller moves, big time period. Big business being done in this
very important time period in the wrestling world.
Some would say it's arguably the most business was being done during this time period. That golden age, that Bruno into Hogan era.
Yeah, we had the spread. We had the territory system. We had a variety of different things. You could kind of circle the country, go up into Canada, go down to Mexico, go across to Japan, and there was enough business for everybody. And then Vince Puerto McMahon Rico. Was like, no.
Yeah, I mean,
it's all mine.
It's shady, but you also kind of have to respect the fact that one dude took the global enterprise of wrestling and was like, it is all mine now.
You know what's going to come eventually is, you know how we're getting like all these like product movies? We're getting Air, we're getting Tetris, we're getting a BlackBerry movie soon.
There's going to be a BlackBerry movie soon?
There's going to be a BlackBerry movie, and it has Glenn Howerton, and he's unrecognizable in that movie. And he
I'm
going to
tell
so
you
good.
Right now, I have no idea who the hell Glenn Howerton is.
One of the guys from It's Always Sunny. Yeah, exactly.
Is it
the one that's not Rob, not Danny, and not Charlie?
Oh, God, not Danny. Oh, wait, Danny DeVito. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Anyways, because we're getting those, we're going to get like a Moneyball-style movie of Vince McMahon as a young man destroying the territories. It's going to happen.
And then the FBI is going to arrest him.
I mean, that sounds nice. It's a good ending. Before we dive into Ernie Ladd, we must tell you once again, go to our YouTube channel and subscribe at Crossbody of Work. Go to the YouTube, subscribe. You can see video versions of the podcast. You can see our homes. Isn't that fun? But also, there's more content coming. The first thing is going to be Javier and I drafting the WWE draft. We're going to start a series where we do some other content drafts. But to kick it off, we drafted our own rosters. I drafted Raw. Javier drafted SmackDown. Go tell me why I won.
Tell me why I won, because I won.
Agree to disagree. What do you know about Ernie Ladd?
I was telling you this before we started recording. I know Ernie Ladd from football. Like, yes. That is where I knew he was a wrestler. I'd heard, I believe previously that he was like a big heel in the 70s, but I was like, you mean the really tall defensive guy, a defensive lineman that played for, was the Chargers? Way back in the day, the guy who was like at one point the highest paid lineman in football. Like like I remember him as a football player. He pops up a lot in those like NFL like throwback YouTube channel that they have where they just go through like a lot of history stuff.
Yeah, where you learn about Bronco Nagurski and Chuck Bednarik and
Freaking Steel Curtain Steelers.
Joe Green, baby.
Yeah, Joe Green and all them boys.
Yeah. Ernie Ladd. A professional football player and professional wrestler, best of both worlds. He actually went to Grambling State University on a basketball scholarship and then was drafted into both the AFL and the NFL, because that's how long ago this was. In 1961, drafted in the fourth round of the NFL draft by the Bears of Chicago, but was also taken by the Chargers with the 119th overall pick. He decided to go to San Diego, was incredibly successful, an AFL champion in 63, three-time first-team All-AFL, four-time AFL All-Star. He's in the Chargers Hall of Fame. He's on their 50th anniversary team. And he was gigantic. He's 6'9", 320. Yeah. And during his playing days, he was 6'9", 290.
He's a big boy.
He's a really big boy. Some of his physical measurements, because they have this on his Wikipedia, which you know you're a big guy when they're like, hey, let's go out of our way to make sure the world knows how gigantic this man is. 52-inch chest. 39
to be fair, it's like, you know, they probably just got all this stuff at like the combine and when he was a pro, you know.
They still put it on the internet. 20-inch biceps, 19-inch neck, 18D shoes.
Listen, all I'm saying is I could probably find Big Cock Brock's measurements on the internet right now. San Francisco, the 49ers have that available on Wikipedia.
Well, yeah, that's you're talking Brock Purdy?
Yes, I'm talking Brock Purdy.
I thought you were talking Brock Lesnar. I was going to make another chirp about him not making it as a Vikings D lineman. Number 69, never forget.
Hey, he was a linebacker, wasn't he?
He was a defensive end.
Oh, that's even worse.
Yeah, did not go well for him.
He made the team and then didn't.
He didn't really make the team. Ernie Ladd signed with the Oilers, spent the 1966 season with them. He went to the Chiefs in 67. Then he started wrestling actually in 1961, the year he got drafted. It was a publicity stunt, and some wrestlers in the San Diego area challenged him to a private wrestling workout, and then eventually he just started doing it in the offseason. He's like, oh, like this is super fun. But his knee problems is what led him out of professional football and into professional wrestling. And then he became an incredible heel.
Oh, yeah.
Big Somebody time. That people wanted to see get his comeuppance. Because it's not like he's going to get the crap kicked out of him. He's 6'9", 300 pounds.
And somebody who I can tell you right now, this is a spoiler for all of these matches, is one of the best sellers I have ever seen.
Especially for this time period. Like, we all know that people sold more in the 60s, 70s, 80s. We know this. This is fact. And the 90s. And then selling kind of fell off 2000s. Is where it kind of started to...
If you're a hater, yeah.
Yeah, I am a hater. But this led to Ladd being in a bunch of different promotions, Worldwide Wrestling Federation, Mid-South, NWA. I love that they put on this one particular instance. Like, he's, because of his size and power, he became a really good fodder for Andre the Giant and other, like, giant wrestlers. His nicknames for Andre the Giant were Andre the Dummy, not very creative, and the Big Fat French Fry.
Oh, I love that one.
That's fantastic.
That's excellent. Andre the Dummy is like, that's something you're just like, this is actually kind of timely because I watched The Hangover last night. Remember when Stu confronts Melissa, his girlfriend at the wedding?
And yes.
He's like, you're an idiot. And he just goes, you're just really not nice.
Just not a nice bad person. Yeah. And in terms of Ernie's nicknames, obviously, Big Cat is what we know him most as, but in some areas, he would be known as the king and have a big ornate crown. If there were other gimmicks where somebody else was already a king or royalty gimmick, he would be Big Cat. And that just became the primary name that people started using for him, because he is a big cat.
He's a big boy.
Our first match for Ernie Ladd is all the way into 1975. He's been wrestling full-time already for 6 years, but we're at Madison Square Garden in November of 75. To see Ernie Ladd go up against a fella, big fella. Oh, Haystacks man. Calhoun. All 600 pounds of this man versus Ernie Ladd.
There's no shot he's 600 pounds, by the way.
What? Give me the shoot version.
If I think he, like, shoot height, I would guess he's 380.
So you think he's only 80 pounds heavier than Ernie Ladd?
First off, he's a very bottom heavy individual, which as we know, you know, it's a lot of the weight, but really it's not where it's going to kill you. Like you can hold the weight, but the bottom half pretty well as a person. But I'm telling you right now, this guy's I think he maxes out at like 420.
I don't know, man. Everywhere seems to say that he was, you know, a lot of weight. He's
also not that tall. He's like, what, 6'4"?
He's 6'4". So being 601 pounds and 6'4" is tough.
I don't know. I'm not gonna be able to do it.
The elite fit on Haystacks Calhoun. Let's talk about it.
Oh man, dude, go ahead, right in.
Big old overall shorts, which are honestly in fashion again. Overalls are back, and he's got the cutoff overalls. With a black tee, plain black tee, slimming, very slimming,
yeah,
and bare feet. I love it. This man could have just walked off the farm a minute ago, and he's like, I'm here to wrestle.
I'm telling you right now, my first bullet point here is Haystacks Calhoun might be my new favorite wrestler.
Is it because he also has a mustache and beard that cannot connect?
That, which honestly, kind of hurtful, not going to lie. But also,
he didn't even do the mustache, though. You at least do the mustache.
But also, he's like, I don't know. It's like the receding hairline with the completely tangled and fucked up hair. Just the entire presentation here. I'm like, this guy, if he could just like throw a good working punch, this might be my new number one.
Can he throw a good working punch?
No. Anyways, we start the match. Not even start the match. We start the clip here. Haystacks is already in the ring.
Yeah.
Ernie Ladd's coming down. He's got a nice little blue jacket. Yeah. Looking
his,
real cool.
His like powder blue Chargers jacket, essentially.
Yeah, but my issue with it is that he never matches his pants or tights or shorts with the jacket. Like
he has the same jacket.
I think here it's like red and blue. It's like but like a maroon kind of reddish.
Yeah.
It's like weird. Doesn't work. They don't work together. He takes a sweet time getting into the ring.
Yep.
And he claims to have an injured hand. He does the little, if you're watching on YouTube, you can see this right now. He does like a little wrist thing,
yeah,
saying that he's got a bum hand. And that's why he's able to wrap his thumb with tape.
Yes. That was his big thing. He would claim an old injury from football. And he would have this wrap, this hard wrap that he would put on his thumb. And refs would tell him he can't do it, so he'd store it in his tights, take it out, and use it for heel advantage. I get the, like, brass rings, and I get the, like, cast. I don't... How much damage can you do with a thumb if it's not to the eye?
Solo Sikoa.
Yeah, but that's at least to the throat.
That's where he's mostly doing it, though.
He's doing it a lot to the forehead.
You know, he does it to the eyes, really. It's not really the forehead. It's the eyes, and then he does the throats. I think, no, we're not going to throw dirt on my man Ernie Ladd now.
Just,
rest
I
in peace.
Don't understand the thumb thing.
It's the thumb to the throat, or it's the thumb to the eye. He doesn't do the forehead.
This match is not good.
Oh, it's absolute dog water. This is the worst match of the bunch by far. I mean, he fakes out Haystacks Calhoun, like he's going to attack him before the bell rings, but doesn't. Then he sticks his hand out for a handshake. Haystacks doesn't bite, and he just kind of ends up getting his ass beat at the early part of the match, and he starts asking for a timeout.
Yeah. Side headlock by Calhoun. Ladd reaches the ropes. He knees him. Ladd is choking the big fella, but doing it in a way where he's maneuvered himself so that the ref is still behind him. The ref also dressed like a fucking IT guy. Like, what?
Yes.
What is that? He's in a big collared shirt and some smart slacks, and he thinks you haven't turned it on and turned it off and turned it back on again.
Have you?
No, I haven't. I just went to you with your job is to solve the problem. Solve the problem, IT guy.
It'll just turn it off and turn it back on again. It usually works.
That's what they pay you to do, though. So the choking happens. Big right hand by Haystacks. Like you said, not the best working punches. Ladd is down. Wow. But this is where you can tell immediately. Ladd sells everything like death. It's awesome. It's awesome. Yeah. Any offense, he'll sell the hell out of it.
There's one where he just like falls back like he's the fucking, like he's Beetlejuice. You know, it's just, it's incredible. And at one point, Ernie Ladd starts like gouging the eyes.
Yeah.
Then he does some punches to the throat with his thumb with the hard cast, like wrapping or whatever, that he hides it away. He spends half the match like going through his tights. If you're like literally anyone that doesn't watch professional wrestling, you're going to get the wrong idea from this.
Yeah, it's going to be a very weird match to see.
Like very really weird.
Speaking like, of weird, let's talk about the finish. The finish is very strange.
Yeah, so... At one point here, Haystacks starts bleeding after a thumb strike to the eye. And it's very pronounced. It's like running down his cheek and stuff. Mm-hmm. Haystacks does a couple of terrible punches. And Ernie starts selling it like he's been tased. Like, legitimately. He's, like, fucking convulsing. And then Ladd just knocks Haystacks out of the ring and wins by countout.
Because you can't get 600 pounds back up in 10 seconds. It's truly the greatest idea. If you fight Haystacks Calhoun, just get him out of the ring.
Get him out.
It works. This match was a tough watch, but it was very fascinating. Because the other thing we need to put in context is that wrestling in this era was just different. You didn't very have different. A ton of moves. Like, a headlock was a big deal. The DDT hadn't been invented yet. Like, shit like that. No, there's no topes. There's no suicide. There's nothing that, like, happening. All right?
There's no commander.
Yeah, exactly. Vikingo isn't here. You know what I mean?
And like 630 freaking springboards.
And you have to keep that in mind in our next match, too. We remain at Madison Square Garden, but we're now in the next year, January 1976. To see Ernie Ladd, again in the Worldwide Wrestling Federation, go up against Gorilla Monsoon. Our first time seeing Gorilla Monsoon in action on this podcast.
Yeah.
I was excited because you hear about Gorilla Monsoon, who does in this clip look a little like Gru from Despicable Me. And that's okay.
To be fair, Gorilla by this point's old. You know, he's older.
Gru-rilla. Yeah, you're welcome.
Is this like Glorilla? Like, is this what we're doing here?
So yeah, Monsoon is older. Like he's on the way out of his prime for sure.
Oh yeah.
What did you think of the match?
This is the fourth best of the bunch.
The matches get better as the episode goes on. For
that's,
sure,
that's how I think. I think it really does go. You know, 5-4-3-2-1.
Yeah,
and, like, as you go on, the matches do progressively get better. Lad, it comes out with just the most gangsta hat I have ever seen in my life.
I do love his cowboy hat. I love it.
It's great. It's excellent. It's like a fedora, but bigger.
It's also the right size for his head.
Which, it's fucking huge.
It's gigantic. So. But that's the thing, is sometimes I feel like people, specifically cowboy hats, people will get the wrong size hat, and it'll look, you look like fucking, Yosemite Sam. Like, you
no,
look insane.
No, bro, you look like fucking Man with the Big Yellow Hat.
Yeah, shout out to Man with Big Yellow Hat. Him and Georgie. Yeah.
Just, that's a good old Curious George.
Going on adventures. Favorite fictional monkeys, go.
Oh God! The monkey from Rise of the Planet of the Apes, Caesar. Is that what it is?
Yeah,
Caesar's one. Then that monkey, and then the little monkey from Tarzan,
Rafiki. It's got to be Rafiki too, because that Rafiki was a cool man. He had wisdom.
And if you just saw my light turn off on the YouTube, yeah, it was a jump scare.
Yes, horrifying.
Horrifying.
Lad tries to back away consistently because that's his game plan. He's the heel, right? Monsoon with a pretty good left jab. I get it.
Yeah, he's got some good punches, man.
Really does. He just does some weird chops.
He just looks like he's way too big for his age. And how old is Gorilla at this point? He's got to be in like his 40s at least.
I'm going to look up Gorilla Monsoon today. Do you talk about the match?
Yeah, I mean, so Latch gets checked over and over again right at the beginning. Gorilla misses a punch by a mile, but Lad still sells it. Then Gorilla just goes on, does a bunch of punches, some chops.
Gorilla will turn 40 this year. He's 39.
Wow. Yeah. That is the oldest 39-year-old I have ever seen in my life. Ernie Ladd might be the new bestseller ever. This is art. It's art what this man is doing to these working shots that Gorilla's throwing.
They're really good. Ladd does manage to get a trap hold on Monsoon. Yeah. Like he gets the trapezius hold, and that was a big move. It was a really big thing. But Monsoon stands up, powers Ladd into the turnbuckle. We do get some nice shots. And then if you're Monsoon, I get Gorilla Monsoon's a big guy, big powerful guy.
Big man.
Is a bear hug the right call against Ernie Ladd?
I mean, I feel like a bear hug works against anyone if you have them like worked over enough. But the issue is,
Ernie's worked over enough here.
He's not. That's the problem. Is he's not worked up enough. So what I'm thinking is Gorilla Monsoon might be all size, no brain.
Ladd escapes quickly and uses the thumb cover from his tights. And then he starts, like, he's hitting Monsoon with the thumb cover and starts chewing on Gorilla's forehead.
Come on, Gorilla.
You can't do that. You can't bite a man.
You can do whatever you want, man, as long as it's legal.
And all this leads to Monsoon being busted open with forehead bites and thumb shots.
Better forehead bites and thumb shots than anything else, that's what I always say.
Innovative offense for the time. That's what we're going to call it. Yeah.
Then we get some more trap holds. And then there's a 20 count for some reason. They mentioned that on commentary. I don't know why. They're in MSG, not the Tokyo Dome.
Very confusing.
But for whatever reason, Ernie just starts jamming his finger into the cut, starts biting the head. Gorilla is just gushing at this point, which leads to the finish of the match.
The bell just fucking rings.
Yeah, it's a ref stoppage, it's a medical stoppage, because Gorilla misses a Gorilla missed a punch because he literally couldn't see because of the blood. And so he lands in the corner. He gets a couple of shots in on Ernie, but it's just not enough for the ref to be convinced and just calls it.
Somewhere in like North Carolina at this time, Ric Flair like felt something in the air because a match was called due to blood stoppage, and he was like, "Well, no, what? No, this is a wrong I must right.
This is wrong I must right." He goes,
"It was a very weird match, but again, Ladd's ability to draw heat, his ability to sell the things, and like he's a bastard. That's the whole point. He's really good at it.
He's just despicable man."
Despicable man. We're going to take a break from this despicable man. When we get back, he's challenging for the WWWF title at Madison Square Garden. Back from the break, it is a title match, and it's Ernie Ladd challenging Bruno Sammartino for the WWWF Heavyweight Championship, March 11th, 1976. Again, three straight at Madison Square Garden. This is our first taste of Bruno Sammartino in the pod as well. He has not shown up in all of our 160-some-odd episodes.
A little shocking.
I think we're going to start doing some more deep dives into this era of wrestling. Huge cheers for Bruno.
Oh my gosh. So over. Back is massive.
He's a wide man.
I knew he was a barrel-chested individual, but you look at it, like just him standing, you could see his lats just freaking peeking out like all the way out here. Yeah.
When people have muscles you can see that are on their back from the front, I'm horrified of you. Horrified.
And you're not even flexing? Because I know if you do flex, it's going to expand even more.
Like, what was his pre-workout in these days? Like a stack of flapjacks and two smokes? And then he would just go lift things? Are you serious?
It was the entire dozen of eggs. It was the whole carton.
And two Miller Lights. And he'd just go to work.
Oh, dear God. My man's over here drinking malt liquor and just absolutely smashing a couple of hams. Or
Bruno Sammartino thinks that anything that isn't whole milk is water lying about being milk. That's what Bruno thinks. He is smack in the middle of his 1,237-day reign as WWF champion. Pop quiz, who does he lose it to?
Is this the Zabisco one?
This is not the Zabisco one.
Oh, does he ever lose to Zabisco? Actually, now I think about it.
I don't think so.
No, he loses this one because of Zabisco. He ends up losing it to a random dude, isn't it?
I wouldn't consider it random. I would like they're a notable name in wrestling history, for sure.
Is it Koloff?
It's not. It is superstar Billy Graham.
Oh,
December 10th, 1977. The precursor to Hulk Hogan.
Damn.
Yeah.
Do you remember who ended the first day one, the eight-year reign?
No, I don't remember. But I will look it up as we're talking. Talk about the match.
So I thought that Ernie Ladd was loosening the corner turnbuckle and nobody cared. Turns out he was tightening them. Don't know why.
He's a stickler for the rules.
Yeah, ring maintenance.
He's an honorable man.
Ernie Ladd's all about ring maintenance, I guess. Bruno turns to face Ernie Ladd real quick before he can get a little snap judge on him. Ernie Ladd, by the way, doesn't strike me as a man who had that fast of a first step. I just got to say, I don't think a man that's 6'9", 320-odd pounds, probably more than that, during his play. Also, the fact that they said that he was heavier as a wrestler than he was as a football player is kind of outrageous to me.
Yeah, a little bit. Two things. One, I don't think you need that good of a first step when you're this fucking strong. Two,
you also have to think, like, the linemen were also probably bigger.
He has knee injuries, so that probably changes his first step. And three, I know I didn't say three, but surprise, three. He lost it to Ivan Koloff when it was the 2,803-day reign.
Man, I'm right. I'm giving myself a point for this.
Yeah, that's a point. That's a point in our non-existent trivia contest. This match is interesting, and I think you and I have the same opinion on why this match is interesting.
It's interesting for a lot of reasons, more so, I don't know, I just felt like these were two guys working a similar style who didn't really mesh together.
I thought the answer was going to be Bruno's kind of robotic and stiff and doesn't really do a lot. It's kind of weird.
The issue with Bruno is he's a top guy in WWE. You know, he's the top guy. I don't care what anyone says. If you're the top guy in WWE, unless you are just that weird period where you are Bret Hart and or Shawn Michaels, you kind of just aren't that great while you're at the top.
And you don't have to, like, you just have to show up. You're so over already. You just hit a couple movies and do your thing. Like, that's it.
Yeah. Like, you know, we all praise the Attitude Era, but Austin wasn't exactly doing much.
Just
opening a can of, you know, opening up a can of whoop ass, a couple stomps, a couple whatever, fez press.
Yeah.
Fucking, you know, some stomps in the corner, right, some punches, hands.
Yeah.
Right hands, boom, middle finger, stunner, we're out of here, baby.
Yeah. Cash check on to Toledo. So the ref wants to check the thumb of Ernie Ladd. Smart ref. He's seen the clips. He doesn't want him to see it. Ref goes see it again. Ernie stashes it in the tights. Heel maneuvers. There's like an arm. Immediately, I was on board with Sammartino because the first thing is an arm drag into a submission. I was like, yeah. Sammartino's got the tactical skills. That was the most technical thing he does the entire match.
I will say, I think if you give him another opponent, he probably is able to do a little
styles,
more. Styles,
like you said before, these styles don't mesh very well.
Because Ernie's not a wrestler. He's like, it's like the, sorry, not like, he's not like a mat wrestler, you know?
No.
He's very much like a, he's a pro wrestler. Probably, or not a pro wrestler, he's a sports entertainer.
Yes, he's very sports entertaining.
Whereas Bruno really strikes me as like a wrestler, like a professional wrestler type of guy who's just out here going, you know, going and doing his thing. And like, I do think their styles are very similar in that they are doing things that they know will elicit a reaction.
Yes.
But they go about it in different ways, and I don't think those two ways mesh very well.
That's a good technical way to get around saying that Bruno Sammartino wasn't very good.
Listen, his finishing move, I'm pretty sure, was a bear hug. So,
which we are so very against. It's just a hug.
I don't know. We all got a hug as a kid from like our uncle who went a little too hard with the hug. You didn't have that? You didn't have an uncle who just like fucking like like you and your cousin like just fucking
No. I can't say I did.
Look, I had some pretty fat uncles when I was a kid. So it was a little and I'm also like one of the like younger kids this generation of like cousins that I was at. I was on the lower younger end of it, so like I was the like baby faced, you know, little cute one that everyone wanted to like pinch his cheek and like hug and all this stuff. So whenever I'd do that, one of my uncles would just scoop me up and then they'd squeeze the fuck out of me and then they'd give me a little noogie.
And then you turn to like Dominic Mysterio.
Did I end up hitting all of them with a steel chair and then challenging them to a match at WrestleMania? Yeah.
You're absolutely right, I did. So like I said, there's that nice arm dragging to an arm submission. The bear hug thing, that's more of a leaning hug by Ladd. He powers Sammartino down for a pin, couple of two counts there. Ladd tries to use the rope. Ref is on his game, checking the tights ahead of time. He sees the anytime he tries to cheat. It's great. He's done his homework. Also, these are some of the most slack ropes I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, fuck yeah. AJ Styles would not be able to hit any springboard moves here.
This is why Finn Balor fell at Extreme Rules at one time. Like, these are the types of ropes.
The ghost of Bruno Sammartino was in the ring.
Pulling the ropes down.
He's having a match against the ghost of Ernie Ladd. No disrespect. But it's true. And then, so this is the first time I've ever seen a bear hug on the ground.
Yes.
I've never in my life seen a bear hug on the ground.
It's not a good move.
Much less one where the guy's using the ropes for leverage on a bear hug that's on the ground.
So Ladd then gets a standing choke, then a big slap to the neck, which I thought was an excellent maneuver.
Just bang,
just right to the neck. I was like, oh shit. And then a couple more uppercut slaps. I was like, this is great. Sammartino with punches to the gut. A right hand knocks Ladd to the apron and then stomp, choking the big cat. I was realizing, I'm like, Bruno has some like heelish tendencies for a guy who's super over, but when you're that over, it doesn't matter. It's like Hogan, it's like Logan. Austin. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
And he's so fucking over too, man.
Everything like,
the
he does,
audio quality, the audio quality is not good.
No,
but you could still hear the crowd really loud, even over the subdued noise.
Ladd wants a timeout. No dice from Bruno. We get a backdrop. He's just kicking him. Ladd gets the thumb splint out of his tights, clocks Sammartino with it, and to his credit, Bruno sells it like Dolph Ziggler getting hit with a fucking semi truck. He sells it like it's the end of the world.
He sells it like Dolph selling at SummerSlam 2019 to Goldberg.
Dolph bumped his ass off there.
Yeah, it was really good. Ernie Ladd is selling his life away with these like head slams to the turnbuckle.
Mm-hmm.
Just the way he's just like, oh, God. Oh, God. It's like he's like a fucking robot who's designed just for selling.
Yeah.
And it's then, so listen. Ernie Ladd was a defensive lineman in football.
Yes.
Yeah, I assume. And you mean to tell me that as a D-end, he can't do a three-point stance to a good shoulder tackle?
You didn't like a shoulder block?
Bro, so bad. They look so bad. And I can't even blame Bruno because his job is just to do a regular back bump.
Yeah. We get another thumb attack by Ladd. And a big leg drop. And he does this weird thing on leg drops where instead of landing on his ass, he lands flat.
He's doing a back bump.
Yeah, he's doing a back bump. This is literally
wrestling, like the first day of wrestling school where they just tell you to do a flat back bump.
Do a bump.
That's all he's doing.
Take a bump. Hits a second
one. I'm not doing it. I have hardwood floors.
Scoop slam to Bruno. Another thumb attack. Ernie's going up on, like I said, the most slack ropes of all time. He misses the splash. Bruno covers him and wins. It's a flat ending.
It's real flat. It sucks, too.
Also, what a weird way to be like, hey, his own hubris is why the only reason he's not champion. Like, Bruno should have beat him with a move. I don't know. Is that not?
You know what really sucks about that is, like, I really feel like they were finally starting to pick it up and the match was starting to get good. And then it's just flat ending.
Like, how short were cards back then? Like,
I think there were a lot of matches.
Just a lot of matches? Okay.
Yeah.
So I was going to say, like, there's no, like, commercial breaks or anything. If it starts at 7, how late are you getting out of there?
Probably, like, 9:30.
Honestly, that sounds nice. Compared to some wrestling, that sounds really nice.
Especially if you're, like, really into these guys. Like, can you imagine if you hate Ernie Ladd and then you love Bruno? Like, this is probably, like, heaven for you.
It's true. We're about to talk about some very, very committed fans in this next match. We are now finally moving away from WWWF, and we're going to Championship Wrestling from Florida to go look at one of this podcast's favorite sons. It is July 15th, 1977, and Ernie Ladd is challenging for the Florida Heavyweight Championship, and he's challenging the Thirudes. We got to put this out there, too, for this. These may not be the most important Ernie Ladd matches, but they are ones we can find on the internet.
Yes, accessibility is really important. It's
hard to find these old matches, even on WWE's official accounts or on the network. They just don't work. So this is actually clips of it. And honestly, I love the style and the way that this is put together.
Yeah,
it
this feels is cut really
very
well.
Cinematic. It starts with shots of the fans and this old-timey announcer saying, "It was a cloudy and misty night in Tallahassee, perhaps an omen of things to come." And I was like, okay, the mood is set. I'm in. The title card is gone. I'm ready. Tell me what's going on. They're talking how it was like, you couldn't get it tickets. There were no more tickets in Tallahassee.
This, Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, top three best intros there are.
Oh, I'm trying to think of what movies have like the best. Oh, Dark Knight. Dark Knight's intro is so good.
It's good.
It's good.
It's real good.
It's good.
But man, it's just, you know, I found out here that they were tag partners.
What a strange tag team.
What? Go on. Go tell me. What would you name them?
Oh, what would I name them? I have No idea.
And why is it the Midnight Riders?
I was going to say it's the All-Americans because he was an All-AFL guy and Dusty Rhodes is the American Dream.
Yeah,
so.
I'm going with the Midnight Riders.
Yeah, mine's better. So Dusty looks like a million bucks here.
Yes, he's a little chunky, but Dusty Rhodes, Dusty Rhodes, baby, was never going to be flat, a little nice little fit man.
I was going to say, saying Dusty Rhodes is chunky. Like, Dusty Rhodes is chunky like peanut butter, man. He's good, all right? Yeah, you let good, him be.
He's good.
Chunky peanut butter or smooth peanut butter?
I'm not a big peanut butter guy, but if I had to choose, probably chunky.
Not a peanut butter guy.
I like almond butter. Big almond butter guy.
Get the fuck out of here.
Big almond. It's just a better taste to me.
Say that butter again.
Almond?
Almond?
Almond butter?
Why are you calling him Al? Almond.
Yeah, a big almond butter.
Who the fuck is almond?
And you get the vanilla kind of one. Oh, on point. On point.
Chunky is the right answer too. So I'm glad you had that. This, I honestly think if you have 5 minutes, go watch this. It feels like a movie and it feels incredible to watch.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, Death starts the match off with an explosion of strikes and elbows, and Ernie Ladd is just selling his life away.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
We've touched on it already, but it needs to be said, like, as its own thing. Ernie Ladd is an incredible seller.
Yeah. It's elite. Like, honestly, this is up there with, like, with Bret Hart for, like, just excellent, like, it's more comedic than Bret. It's more in the, like, Shawn Dolph Ziggler zone of things. Yeah. But it is absolutely incredible.
But it's in a way that I think is special because, like, in terms of heel selling, where some heels still try to, you know, protect themselves. Ernie was so cool that he was okay to take goofy looking bumps because he would just hop on the mic, get all that heat back, and he'd be just fine.
You know what it is? I think that more than anything, it's the type of selling that's better if you see it in person. Which works because they weren't exactly wrestling for TV at this time. They were wrestling for the crowd.
Yeah. Did we have TVs back then? I mean, we had two.
Considering this tape exists.
Yeah, I know. I was being facetious.
No, you weren't.
We get a back body drop by Dusty. We got a fist drop. Dusty with a bunch of punches. And then he slaps a kiss on his own ass. Dusty Rhodes. He's that fan.
No, baby. He's that guy. Baby, you have it. You are it. You couldn't sell it if you tried.
Ladd avoids getting run headfirst in the turnbuckle. Gets hit with another bionic elbow because Dusty ducks behind him after he gets the block. And which is great because, like, Ladd, you got to expect that if you're turning around with your back to Dusty, he's behind you. And yet he's still completely baffled as to where Dusty Rhodes is.
Just Dusty going, I can smell you.
He's like Drax. He's like, if I don't move... won't see me. Ladd gets in control, a chop and a hip toss. Rhodes fighting back, but Rhodes gets caught with the thumb splint. It's 4 for 4 appearances with the thumb splint.
Fun fact, it will be 5 for 5.
It will definitely be 5 for 5.
Ernie gets him in the throat. He hits a couple of his flat back bump leg drops for a near fall. Do you think Hulk Hogan was just watching Ernie Ladd do leg drops and were like, There it is. That's my finisher.
Because Hogan, at least to give him the smallest amount of credit humanly possible, takes the bump on his ass instead of his back.
You know what it is? You know where my argument falls apart is that would also be the assumption that Hogan was watching a black man wrestle.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan sucks. All right. so we have the leg drops. Dusty kicks out. Dusty with these, like, axe handle strikes. Yeah. Not
the one where he, like, charges up, where he's over here like it's a fucking Kamehameha. Yeah. And and he's just going through. It's just Kamehameha.
You know those, you can see them every once in a while, like those little, like, they're little plastic games and you can, like, make your guy golf or things like that.
Sure. Yeah.
Good. Entertain me. And it's the same, like, he would start back here and just swing really fast.
Oh, yeah. Wait, like, at arcades and stuff, right?
Yeah, stuff like that.
Yeah, like, when you're fucking, it's like foosball, but with but with other different characters. Yeah, I play the hockey one sometimes. It sucks.
The disrespect. Go Leafs, go. So, Rhodes with elbows. The ref tries to break it up. Dusty, in the heat of the moment,
oh, yeah,
tosses him to the outside. And then we get some sketchy things happening. What happens?
Some random mask dude comes into the ring and hits a neck breaker on Dusty and then dips. And there's a lot of like confusion and scrambling. And Ernie Ladd's, both men are down. And Ernie Ladd's not really moving until finally Ernie's like, holy shit, I got some life. Oh, this guy's down. Let me just wrap my arm around him. And then the ref comes in and 1, 2, 3, Ernie Ladd wins the match and the Florida, what is it? Florida championship.
Heavyweight championship. Yeah.
Yeah. Good for him.
You neglected the greatest part of this. This man is in a just plain black mask and a latex Hawaiian shirt.
He's a latex black mask.
He's on vacation. He's at fucking Copacabana and he's in a Hawaiian shirt.
Well, they're in Florida, man. What do you want? What are you expecting?
That's not Hawaii. Still, you're coming out there to ruin Dusty Rhodes' championship run, and you're going to do it in fucking casual Fridays at the office and your gimp mask? Are you kidding me?
He's got his Tommy Bahama shirt on, brother. What do you want me to tell you?
I would like everyone to go watch this. One, for the cinematography and the wonderfulness of it. But two...
Yeah, this is my recommendation for the week.
Go watch the finish. And every time you do, watch a different member of the crowd. These people would have murdered for Dusty Rhodes. There was heat. There was a woman in white on the very left side of your screen who is beside herself. She cannot believe Dusty was screwed in this way. And that's what wrestling is missing now. Because now we know about whose contract is up and who, and fucking Dax has his podcast. Everyone's got their podcasts, which is rich for me saying on a podcast.
We know that CM Punk's coming back at some point.
We know all the things, who's getting pushed and who's in the doghouse and who's this, who's that, whatever. These people had no idea. A man in a Tommy Bahama shirt, a Tommy Vercetti / BDSM practitioner came in, neckbreaker Dusty Rhodes, and Ernie Ladd benefited. And that's all they would know. There's no, you can't go online and see what everybody else is thinking. You left that and you're like, I gotta kill that man for Dusty. Yeah.
Just the BTK killer coming through with a mask. Absolutely rocking Dusty Rhodes in front of all these people and gifting the title to Ernie Ladd. And you expect me to believe, oh God, this is okay? No. Do we know who this is? Who was it that screwed Dusty?
No idea.
I need to find this out.
Oh, they should bring back
Mindhunter. Is that Gorilla?
They should bring back Mindhunter.
Oh, they should. I love David Fincher did the absolute business for 2 seasons, and I'm robbed of this.
This is a really good show. All right, we're going to take a break. When we get back, we've got an Ernie Ladd promo. Back from the break, it is 1978. And just so you know, we have this promo that we're covering. On our Twitter account, at Crossbody of Work, we retweeted an hour-long compilation of Ernie Ladd promos. Go watch it. It's a hoot.
Did you? I didn't even notice that.
I threw an hour-long Ernie Ladd promo thing. Shout out to, I don't remember who it was, Mid-Atlantic Pod or somebody who put this all together. And it's just Ernie Ladd going off for an hour. It's awesome.
Great.
Yeah. What do you think of this promo? What do you think of Ernie Ladd the stick?
Gordon Solie got the absolute work in this for these 2 minutes.
Dunked on.
This is crazy. He goes, when the big money's passed around, you know I'm always around there.
Because Gordon Solie is suspicious of Ernie's intentions because he's come to this to their territory ever since a bounty was put on. We don't actually know who the bounty was put on.
I'm assuming it's on Dusty.
I assume so too. But they said there's a bounty, and Ernie's like, do I look like a man who would come to collect a bounty? And Gordon's like, I don't know. You showed up when the bounty's here? And he says, what type of money has been talked about? $10,000 to $20,000. And the second says $20,000, and he's like, interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah, well, he also then goes on to say the champions make around $300,000, $500,000 a year. So the bounty needs to be a little sweeter.
It's true.
Then which is also insane, by the way, that's how much they were making. In today's day and age, that much money is like...
There's no way.
Bro, looking at like fucking 3-4 million.
Same way you were like, hey, Stax Calhoun is not 600 pounds. There's no fucking way they're making $300,000 to $500,000. There's just no way.
There's no fucking shot.
Ladd then dunks on Solie. Do anything you want. You're just a TV announcer. Goes and wrestles. Comes back. And his jacket, he has a jacket on that says, Rhodes is through in Florida, which of the insults you can print on clothing for your enemy is pretty tame.
It is, but it cuts deep, man.
He's through in Florida.
The Dusty, that's his territory, brother.
Go back and watch that woman lose her mind
when Dusty lost. He starts talking about Dusty and tells the announcer that he's prejudiced and all this other stuff. He says that he was the highest paid lineman to ever play professional football, and that he believes in the saying, money talks. And bull jive walks. It's real. It's real shit right there.
I really want that on a t-shirt. Like, I just really do. Just some, like, fun font.
Money talks and bull jive walks.
Yeah, it's a good saying. I like it. He talks about he's got big, strong, powerful muscles. He's a real man. In this promo, he talks about that he makes money, that he's a big guy, that he's, you know, highest paid, that he's a talented wrestler, and then he keeps calling Dusty Rhodes Dirty Rhodes.
He calls him trash at one point here.
Yeah, he does.
He mentions the bounty and then tells Gordon Soley that he's just a TV announcer and not to talk about his business.
Vlad says he won the belt 1, 2, 3. Dirty Rhodes is a child of Eddie Graham. That's why he gets what he wants. And he's just happy if money happens to come his way. He's like, I'm not coming for the bounty. But if money happens to come my way, well, that's okay.
If a little money happens to come my way now,
I have no problem with that. I have no problem with money coming my way. I love this promo. We're not doing it any justice. Ernie Ladd is hilarious to listen to on the stick and gets heat in a variety of different ways while also... Like, yeah, he calls him Dirty Rhodes, but, like, he doesn't really tear down Dusty here. He's just like, I'm awesome. And here's why.
Miz?
Yeah. Very Miz. Very Miz-like, except better.
Except more charismatic and 6'9".
Yeah. Our last match is a match that once I saw it pop up during the searching for videos, I could not pass up on it just because of the star power alone. Mid-South Wrestling... January 14th, 1982, a six-man tag match. It is Ernie Ladd and the Wild Samoans Afa and Sika against the trio of Andre the Giant, Dusty Rhodes, and the Junkyard Dog. Whoo!
This is good shit, man.
This is good stuff. Yeah. JYD, Dusty, and Andre are out to another one bites the dust. That's pretty good. That's some pretty good stuff. I popped. Listen,
I'm telling you right now, if I hear some Queen, I don't care who it is. It could be my least favorite wrestler of all time. And I'm still going to tell you right now, I'm a root for Triple H. Because if he comes out to Queen.
What if Edge came out to Queen?
Well, Triple H is my least favorite wrestler of all time.
I know, but Edge.
And it's Edge. If they're a tag team and they came out to Queen, depends on the Queen zone.
Fair. Fat Bottom Girls.
Oh, absolutely. Pop it.
Also, somebody fantasy booked me to a world where Edge and Triple H come out to Fat Bottom Girls.
Someone WWE 2K23 that shit.
That's fair. That's some good stuff. What did you think of this contest?
I thought this was quality-wise the best match of the bunch.
Yes.
It's just convoluted chaos, and it's fucking great.
There's just a lot that happens, yeah.
Sika starts the match off with JYD. The only reason I know the difference between Afa and Sika is because of WWE Supercard, where
fair.
I could see their faces and I just know the difference, you know.
The benefits of Supercard.
Afa's got like a Fu Manchu type deal going where Sika has more of a fuller kind of beard.
Yeah.
I also don't remember which one is Roman Reigns' dad and which one is like the other guy's.
I don't remember either, but I'm gonna look.
I remember which one's Roman's dad and which one's Jacob Fatu's dad.
I'm gonna look it up.
JYD starts rocking Sika. At one point here, he barks at him and then rocks him with a forearm, like a mean forearm. That was kind of crazy for the time period, especially because you didn't really get to see strikes that heavy around this time in America.
Sika is Roman's dad.
Shout out Sika.
Yeah, and Rosie's dad.
Yes, shout out Rosie as well. Andre takes on both the Samoans. He just rocks them a little bit. Has a meeting of the minds. At one point, they want to tag in. I believe it's Afa wants to tag in Ernie Ladd. He does not want to get, he avoids getting into the ring at all costs with Andre.
Nope, he doesn't want to get in there with the big fat French fry. No, thank you. I'm good.
Eventually, Offa does tag him in, and Ernie gets absolutely muscled by Andre the Giant.
Andre blows him up. Big chop, headlock, takedown. Ladd does get Andre into his own corner, into the heel corner, so the heels can beat on him. Dusty and JYD both try to come make the save. Andre is so strong. He's getting choked by one of the Wild Samoans. I don't know if it was Offa or Sika. It's Sika. He's so strong. He just lifts him over the rope and just kind of carries him
across the ring
to his own corner. I was like, Dusty, oh my God.
Dusty gets like a little mini hot tag here. Just starts blowing up the flames for like a solid 5 seconds. And then he starts working over Ernie Ladd's leg because, you know, he's got knee issues and he's 6'9", so he kind of needs legs. I'm surprised we hadn't seen this before.
Yeah, that's fair. JYD gets in the ring, headbutt to Ladd.
Yeah, he gets a hot reaction too. Junkyard Dog's really on the ascent here as far as his popularity goes.
Ernie Ladd also was fundamental in getting Junkyard Dog and making him popular. Like, that was one of the things that he did, and like that was something he brought, was he recognized the star power in Junkyard Dog and was like, we got to push this guy to the moon. And so that's exactly what he did.
Andre gets a big boot to Offa. Ladd gets in and breaks the pin with a leg drop. The Samoans do a tandem slam on Andre. And then Ladd comes through with just the worst standing splash I have ever seen in my life. And Andre just muscles him off at two.
It's not good.
It's so bad. It's so bad. I kind of just want to make a visual for the people here.
Okay.
So let's say the Duke pillow is Andre. So this is a benefit for those of you watching on YouTube.
Why do you have a Duke pillow?
Because I'm a big fan of Duke men's basketball.
Why is there so many things that I want to punch you? Anyways, continue.
Anyways, so we've got Andre down on the ground after the double slam. So he goes forward, boop. And then here comes Ernie Ladd. He's at the same level, right? So he's right here, and then just
falls on him.
Just kind of does like a fish flop.
Yeah. Just blop right onto him.
Fish flop right onto him. And so disrespectfully disappointing to me.
Yeah.
To me specifically, who wasn't born for another like fucking 15 years. But that's beside the point.
Let's talk about the finish, because the finish is actually pretty good.
Yeah, things break down between everyone. We've got one heel matched up with one baby face. All three of them are out there in the ring. All six of them are out there in the ring.
What speed did you watch this on?
I think I just watched it on either 1.25 or the normal speed.
I watched it on 1.5, and I was like, this is the slowest, like, all hell breaks loose that I've ever seen.
Because it's not that... none of these are really long. I don't even think I watched any of these on 1.5. I think I just 1.25 the whole thing.
That's fair. Yeah, everybody's in the ring. All hell breaks loose as slowly as possible. Ladd and Andre end up in the ring. Ladd gets double backdropped by JYD and Dusty. Yep. Andre goes to the top. Andre the Giant with a splash from the top. 1, 2,
was it three. All the way from the top? Or was it a middle rope?
I'm pretty sure he got all the way up.
Do you think he did do like a tsunami? Or what is the way that Bronson Reed does it, where he just takes the one step.
He
basically just does this, like, he's at the top rope, and then he just takes the step and then just goes right away.
Yeah, that's exactly what I think it was. It was like, all my momentum forward.
Yeah. I like this match a lot.
It's fun. I think just for how the other one is presented, I would say watch the Dusty match. But yeah, you can watch both, because their combined total is like 13 minutes long.
Yeah, this is like a 10-minute match.
This was a really short week for your boys.
Yeah, it really was. I was really happy about it because I was entertained. It was an entertaining hour.
What did you like most going back and looking at the career of Ernie Ladd?
Just the charisma.
Yeah.
More than anything, the selling. I'm a big fan of selling, man. Like, you know, there are some guys, like, part of the reason why I love Darby Allin so much, aside from the fact that he's out of his fucking mind, it's just the guy's a really good seller. He's so good at it. The way that he just fucking, like, puts his whole body into it, it's great. And that's what Ernie Ladd was doing here. And he didn't have to. He's a guy who's 6'9". He's the heel. He could easily just be like, yeah, brother, I'm going to be on top for fucking 90% of this match. And whenever you come at me, I'm just going to phone it in with the selling because the people are just going to be hot anyways because you're on top. And
you're Bruno Sammartino.
Yeah, and you're going to put me down and you're going to win the match somehow, some way. But instead, he like genuinely, you know, more than anything, I think he was selling most of these matches. And he was doing a damn good job of it. He was a very giving heel, is what I will say. He was able to draw a lot of heat while still giving a lot to his baby faces. And that's something that you don't really see a lot, especially from a lot of these top heels throughout any generation of wrestling.
Ernie Ladd retired from wrestling in 1986 due to, of course, recurring knee problems. He returned as a color commentator. He called the 20-man Battle Royal at WrestleMania 2. He had one last match. It was January 3rd, 88 at a WWF house show in Long Island, New York, in a 20-man Battle Royal won by Bam Bam Bigelow. He was inducted into the WCW Hall of Fame in 94 and the WWF Hall of Fame in 95, becoming the first and for a long time only member of both Hall of Fames.
Interesting.
Pretty impressive. Ladd did pass away in March of 2007 at the age of 68. I do want to share what I found on his Wikipedia about his passing. He was diagnosed with colon cancer in the winter of 03 or 04, being advised he had 3 to 6 months to live. He reportedly ignored the doctor's diagnosis, stating, "The doctor told me I had 3 to 6 months to live. I told the doctor that he's a liar and that Dr. Jesus has got the verdict on me. I also told him, you're working with a miracle when you work with me." And of course, he lived another 3 years.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy.
That's dope. I always love where it's like, you got 3 to 6 months. Abso-fucking-lutely not, I don't. Watch me.
Watch me, bitch. My immune system may be failing me, but I'm going to force this motherfucker into submission.
And in that time, previous, like, in his retirement, he had been running a restaurant in New Orleans, Big Cat Ernie Ladd's Throwdown Barbecue Restaurant. Fantastic name. Of course, in 2005, Hurricane Katrina hit, and in the disaster's aftermath, he ministered to Katrina evacuees and kind of tried to do as much support as he could. So even in this time where he's been told you have 3 to 6 months to live, he's still out there helping people, running his restaurant, doing what he can, spreading the word. Ernie Ladd, by all accounts, sounds like a pretty dope guy.
Yeah, really good guy. Fucking amazing football player, incredible wrestler, and all around good dude. You can't ask more for a guy of his esteem. And you know, he's one of he's probably the most notable black wrestler in a time period where there weren't really that many guys who, you know, looked like him that were out there. In an age where Bruno Sammartino was up there, it was really just him, Junkyard Dog, and like
Bobo Brazil.
Yeah,
that's like the other big name. Yeah,
Bobo Brazil, who was one of his big rivals.
Yeah, we probably got to do a Bobo Brazil episode soon. That'd be really cool.
Yeah, we will.
Let's talk about first all the housekeeping stuff, and then we'll announce who our next episode is. You should follow us on social media, of course, on YouTube. Hit that subscribe button. Hit like at Crossbody of Work. If you're not on YouTube right now, go and subscribe to see all of our new content. Like we said, WWE Draft is coming out. It'll be up on the website around the same time as this episode is live on all podcast platforms. Plus, go follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Crossbody of Work. However, where can people find you on social media?
I'm on the Twitter machine at JMelloSports. It's in the link of the, it's in the bio of the main account.
Yeah.
Just go ahead, click my name, go to my profile. Doesn't have a blue check, but that's beside the point.
Oh, blue checks.
Hit the little follow button.
Yeah, do that for me. My lack of blue checks. At It's Evan Gomes, ITSEVANGOMES. Go to fullpresswrestling.com for all the links to the matches. Like we said, go watch the Dusty one. Go watch the six-man tag. They're both great. If you really want to see some old wrestling, of the other three, I would say go watch the Bruno match.
Yeah, just because you get to see Bruno.
Yeah, it's Bruno. It's very cool.
We're not talking about Bruno.
We don't. Go to fullpressshop.com, cop the merch, support the boys. Javier's wearing one of the shirts right now, the old Blockbuster tee. Wherever you're listening, whether it's on YouTube or your favorite podcast platform, rate 5 stars. It helps us out tremendously. Leave that 5-star review. Put something funny in the comments. We'll read it out. And subscribe if you're not already. Next week, we are doing an episode that we thought we have done at this point because we just thought we'd put it on there already. And we haven't actually covered this man yet. We're talking about Perry Saturn.
Yes.
a standout of ECW's tag division, a standout in WCW, member of Raven's Flock, member of the Radicals, and of course, lover of Moppy.
Oh yeah, baby. This man and a mop.
Just a man and a mop.
And well, you know, if you think about it, the love child of the man with that mop is just Matt Riddle.
We will dive further into that next week. I need about a week to do some research. All right, it's time for everyone's favorite part of the podcast. Javier, any final words for the people?
This week on Life Advice with Javier. You know, we're just going to go pretty practical with it. Okay. Take care of your health, guys. It's getting we're getting into that crossover period where a lot of people are getting sick. My girlfriend's been real sick for the last week. Especially if you have asthma, this is like a really hard time of the year where the pollen really kind of fucks with you and your breathing gets harder. If you feel like things are getting a little serious, get to urgent care, get to the ER, wherever you got to go as soon as you possibly can, because you don't want to risk an infection. I am living through it now, not personally, but vicariously. It sucks.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, go out there, get yourself checked out if you do fall into that. If you don't, listen, man, I know people are always like, you know, oh, we're finally a little outside of that COVID bubble. We don't really have to wear masks anymore. Masks suck. Mask really fucking help with that pollen thing, you know?
Also, if you're sick, if you are sick, wear a mask, because that way you don't get other people sick.
But also, it's like a good preventative measure for the pollen stuff.
It's all good stuff. Just do
it. It's not even like a COVID thing anymore. If you don't have to be, you know, so super scared of the COVID thing, but the pollen, if you wear the mask, like my mom gets sick. Like she's like sick at least 5 times between April and May.
Yeah.
Last year, she didn't get sick a single time because she wore a mask every day. Like it really does work wonders if you're sick of like, or if you're allergic to like pollen or certain dust that might be out and about during this time of the year, during this crossover period into spring.
It's a great idea. Just do it.
Wear a mask. Just take care of yourself. More than anything, though, start wearing sunscreen. The sun's going to get crazy soon. We're not full blasted summer. This is going to be one that I'll reiterate at some point as soon as the summer starts coming in. But just a little bit. Start the preemptive process of putting on sunscreen and take care of yourself.
Even when it's cloudy, put your sunscreen on. Even when it's cloudy, you're still getting UVs. All right. Thanks for joining us as we talked about the career of Ernie Ladd. We're back next week talking about Perry Saturn. Check us out on YouTube for extra content at Crossbody of Work. We will talk to you next week.
Money talks or drive walks.